Hello, everyone. Welcome back to UK TV. It's episode 97 in our new twice a week format. You've had the game review. Now it's time for the game preview. It's the home opener. We're back to the Ray J. The Bears are coming into town to continue the black and blue old division rivalry. What do you think we're going to see in this game, Mariana? What should we be looking out for?
Well, I think we all know that the Bears' biggest threat is probably Justin Fields. He's got a pair of legs on him, so it'll be very important to keep contain on him and not let him get running. We looked at some of the stats and we know that he was the leading rusher in their first game. So it's likely that he's going to get a lot of yards for them this season. So that's probably the key focus is let's contain Justin Fields and not let him run all over the place.
That's it. So you mentioned the Bears. So the Bears had him throw 37 passes against the Packers. Now, obviously, the game situation and the score probably dictated that to a large extent. 24 completions, 216 yards. So, you know, I think he was moving the ball. But like I say, it was 59 yards on the ground at nearly 7 yards a carry. That was probably the killer because in my head, 7 yards a carry, that's a third and long that gets converted. That's that keeps the drive alive, isn't it? And that's probably where he's most dangerous. It feels like they did enough. Don't forget, although these Bears, you know, lost, they scored 20 points. There's another team we know that also scored 20 points. So, you can't assume these things. So, David, if we take Justin Fields, if we can take him out of the game, what's the best way to do that, do you think?
I think it's JTS, getting to him early, using his pace. Yep. And then it's all down to Devin Wright, I think. I'm picking him up if he does break in the backfield and use.
So that's sort of like the things we used to do with sort of Donovan McNabb and people like that, and just try and shadow someone.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's definitely their main threat. We've just got to try and contain him and not let him break anything.
He did spread the ball around. So again, looking through the stats, there were three receivers that each had seven targets. Yeah, Mooney, Kmet, and Johnson. So. It does feel like they've probably got a reasonable set of receivers. Again, for me, I'm kind of old school. I looked down the roster and I said, oh, DJ Moore, I remember him. But, the world's moved on a little bit since then. I accept it. Mariana, in terms of offensive weapons, Khalil Herbert, Deonta Foreman, this is not your Pro Bowl roster, but again, they racked up 20 points.
Yeah, they've got an interesting, as you pointed out, DJ Moore, he's the one that I would have picked out as sort of the wide receiver threat. He didn't seem to get as many catches this week as I'd expect. Cole Kmet has been a solid tight end for a good few years as well. And for me, the interesting one is their running back, Roshon Johnson.
Yeah.
I think he's a rookie this year, so it'll be interesting to see if he ends up taking over a little bit like we were discussing, in our previous podcast. With Tucker at the
back. As I say, he had seven targets, six catches, and he had five carries for 20 yards, which is only 4 yards, but hey, don't knock it. That's pretty much more than the Bucs offense put on the ground. But on their depth chart, Johnson's third on the depth chart. So like you say, I think there's probably an element of rookie respect, but he could well be playing himself into position.
Yeah, very much so. I think, it takes a while for, as you say, a team to come together. Personally, I think that the game's a winnable game for us. We're normally good against the run. We've got Vea. We've got he's a solid run stopper. He has been for a good few years now. So I'm hopeful that we can stop that run. I think for me, it's still the real threat will be Justin Fields and containing him. This will be one of those key games for your favourite, JTS, for him actually maybe ratcheting it down a gear. Mm. And instead of going full blast and running past Justin Fields and it turning into Justin Fields, then breaks contain, for him to get through that D-line, but then not just run past. But
just break down a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, obviously, David, you said that we, you know, we could try and spy Justin Fields. The other option is just to try and collapse the pocket. Don't necessarily go for the big sack or the big strip sack, but just keep containing that pocket. Make sure any running back comes through, gets tackled for 2-3 yards, and then challenge him to beat you through the air, I guess, is probably the result of that. It looks like he's got the receivers, but he was only throwing 216 yards in the game that the team are chasing. Then that might imply that maybe he hasn't got enough there. Be interesting to see. Kind of which player we've talked about, JTS, talked about Devin White, and you talked about Vita Vea. What about the secondary? What do you think we need to see from the secondary? Maybe David, we'll start with you.
I mean, building on what we saw in the last game against the Vikings and probably where our backs have been for the last 3 or 4 seasons, communication in the backfield. Is, you know, sooner or later we've got to sort of get this act together and start picking up receivers, because it is just quite frustrating at times. But, you know, a lot of change there. I mean, Wingfield seems to have got a new role again, seems to be very more aggressive and getting up the field. So we got youngsters about. I mean, obviously, we've got Calvin Davis, who had a great game this Sunday against the Vikings. Need to get him involved in receivers, but just general communication is what we need to do. We can't allow receivers to cut loose downfield and not picked up.
Really interesting. Yeah. As you say, Carlton Davis seems to be in the Revis sort of Revis Island type mold of wherever the best receiver goes, you follow with them. And they say Winfield was very low down in the box, you know, playing that strong safety. Reminded me, showing my back to sort of Dan Crossman sort of era. You know, whereas, like, you know, even John Lynch used to sort of play a little bit further back and when he was in that sort of role. But it was, yeah, really, really aggressive. Mariana, so you appear to have gone dark.
Yeah, my light's gone out.
That's all right. We'll carry on.
It's okay. It's not too bad.
So from the secondary, kind of, what about the sort of the younger or less experienced players? We talked about Christian Izian, you know, in brackets, who the heck is he? And kind of, yeah, is it the depth that we're looking for again?
Yeah, I think McCollum, in his sort of second year, he needs to step up a bit more. You know, I still feel like he's got a lot of talent, but he's not always, he was always going to be a sort of project pick. And he's only in his second year, I think, still. So it takes time. Really, we've got Carlton Davis that we're relying on, sort of Carlton Davis, as you say, Antoine Winfield, and we've got then a bunch of rookie pieces. And it is just that secondary is the risk, and definitely that situation of having this sort of 10, 15, 20 yard pass down the middle, where no one seems to be anywhere near a receiver, just scares the life out of me. But we're against a different set of receivers. The Vikings had Jefferson, and maybe we were seeing Jefferson's skill rather than the sort of lack of ability on the part of the Buccaneers secondary. It'll be interesting.
That's a really good point.
Starts to tell.
And there's kind of this sort of like comb interlocking thing where the best receiver takes the best, you know, and then the second takes the second and the third takes the third. If that first receiver isn't there, everyone else moves up a rung. So, you know, I think that it's not just about taking one player out, but actually it can have a cumulative effect across the whole secondary. And, you know, in the NFL, the gap, the difference between 20-yard seam give-ups versus shutdown defense isn't as big as you might think. That'd be really interesting. Let's move to the other side of the ball then. So, as we say, both teams scored 20 points last week. Do you feel like the Bucs need to put... Will 20 be enough to win this game?
I think we'll probably get more than that. I'm expecting us to develop. I mean, the one thing that always struggles with the Bears is they always seem to be in real rebuild mode, and you never know quite where they are. You know, they had a ton of draft picks this year, didn't they? And, you know, those sort of things take time to get together. And I really think that we're going to be sort of up there on offense. And I think that's where we can really make the difference.
I guess things are taking time, though. Traditionally, early in the season, defenses seem to be slightly more ahead of the curve than offenses. It takes a little bit longer to gel. Mariana, we talked last time about the O-line. If they're going to be running the ball more, then the O-line's going to have to gel more, isn't it? Kind of what do you want to see from the run game?
I want to see more than 2 yards per carry. That would be nice. I think we want to see a breakout run, really, from someone. You know, a real nice sort of 10, 15 yard, real first down sort of carry, just straight off the, you know, straight out of a play. I think I get the feeling, even this early, that we're going to see more of Tucker. Okay. I do get the feeling that we may well see a bit more of Tucker. That's my tip for fantasy people. and it may well work for us because he's a bit of an unknown to other teams. People know what Rashad White offers and maybe they don't know what Tucker offers. So let's see if Tucker gets a few more carries this week. We might even see a bit more of Chase Edmonds or someone like that.
Tucker feels a bit more like a sort of smaller, sort of more nimble sort of character, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So it could be that sort of change of pace, change of look.
Yeah. It'd be nice to see maybe some sort of mix up plays as well. We're only starting. We're sort of early in the season, and we're not going to see all the sort of trick plays and stuff. But it'd be nice to see some misdirection in the backfield and, you know, maybe change of directions or stuff like that. So, you know, a couple of crossover sort of sweeps or something like that.
Yeah, good call. David?
I mean, picking up on the O-line again, we just don't seem to create enough seams for runners to get in. I mean, that's Tucker a bit smaller, can probably utilise what they do create a bit more than White. But, you know, we do team to struggle to create runs up the middle, and anything we do make is really on the edges. So I'd like to see a bit more from the O-line actually creating something for our run game.
Yeah, it's bizarre, but you're absolutely right, because kind of the off-tackle type stuff works. But ironically, as soon as we try and run a sweep or something outside, we seem to not have the pace to do that either. So you're right, there's obviously that. Yeah, maybe it just speaks volumes about, you know, the value of Wirfs and, dare I say, Gedeke. But I don't know, but kind of the people that are able to sort of seal the ends or the work by the tight ends. Maybe let's talk a little bit more about the tight ends. Obviously, this time, we want them to actually grab the ball. Mariana, last time you were saying, you know, there's a bit of a toss-up between K-Dot and Anko Kieft. Do you think we can expect things against a slightly slower Bears defense?
Well, again, maybe this is where we play Kieft more like we played him last season. Let's put him in front of the running back. And, you know, if we are struggling on that O-line to make the gaps, to make the seams to the runners, let's use Kieft how we used him before and have him run ahead of our running back. I still think K-Dot is the better player to be catching, to be, I don't like seeing, you know, half a dozen balls going to Coe Keith, who just was never a catching tight end out of college even. That's just me.
And a bit like your sort of fancy tip for Sean Tucker, I'm really interested to see what Payne Durham at tight end can offer. It's probably still a little bit early in the season, and because he's got Otten and Keith ahead of him on the depth chart, although it doesn't seem to be one or the other, it does seem to be sort of multiple tight end sets and things that are in the playbook. But I think, yeah, Durham at some point, I'm looking for him to break out. I don't think it's going to be this game, though.
That would be lovely to see, I think, like Otten one side, Durham the other, because they are both... And Durham... What I like about him is he can block and he can catch. And he seems to take players with him. Seen some of his college video and he just takes players with him. He drags them down. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see him when he does start.
That'll be good. And then it feels like we've saved the best till last. The receivers, you know, it's probably fair to say, you know, a slightly muted game by Godwin and Evans, but maybe... Yeah, with Tompkins and to some extent Palmer, they probably made up for it. Kind of what sort of formation, we'll start with you, David. What kind of, do you think we ought to get all four out there, or is it going to be a bit more of a tight game? How are we going to get Evans and Godwin more productive?
Yeah, I mean, I think they played a few sets with Evans on his own and three or four stacked up the other side, didn't they? So they were trying to create something to him. But I think definitely we need to see a bit of the pace downfield, particularly Tompkins and Palmer. And try and stretch our offense and stretch their defense and get behind them. I think that's key, because I think that'll open it up then for Godwin and Evans. So
the old Scotty Miller tactic of bomb it long to scare the bejesus out of everyone.
Yeah, and I mean, the right Mike Evans, he needs to catch the ball. Yeah, two or three as well. Very unlike Evans, didn't they? Which is really disappointing.
They weren't clean catches. They were definitely sort of contested. Yeah, I think that was, well, like you said, there was a deep one. There was that sort of seam, sort of slight in where sort of the player's hands clashed or something. But you're right. Those are the ones that we would expect Evans to come away with. And as we know, contract year for Mike Evans. So, you know, Mariana, would you agree with David, or do you think we need to scheme slightly differently?
I think you're very much correct. I think one thing I'd like to see again a bit more of is a bit more of Godwin coming out of the backfield, because he does that sort of stuff in previous years. He's done that and effectively as well. He's a fast player. I feel like from what I saw, and it's so early to be making, like, here's my prediction based on one game.
One game, exactly. Yeah. It's a small sample size.
But it did feel like Mayfield had more of that little rapport with Godwin, actually. And some of the balls that he threw to Godwin were in sort of tighter windows. Evans, he was kind of going to with the deep ball. So it'll be interesting to see if that is a sort of continued theme, and if he is going to sort of Godwin more on sort of the crossing routes and the sort of tight in the middle sort of throws, and Evans is more of just our deep threat.
It does sort of hark back to sort of the Bucks offense, I get a bit through the Winston years, in a sort of, we're just going to throw the ball up and expect our players to go and make a play, which even at the time we spent ages, you know, bemoaning Sean Payton and the Saints and how they would scheme players open. So although I really welcome this new aggressive style of offense that we've got about going for it, being risk takers, not necessarily just taking sort of small chip plays, but going for more chunky sort of stuff. But at the same time, I still, you know, again, sample size of one. We haven't seen the whole playbook yet, but it does feel like I'm not quite seeing, you know, high-low combinations or, you know, rub players crossing over or anything that's going to try and scheme players open. So that would probably be on my wish list. David, kind of. Yeah. So just let's move on to wish lists more generally then, because we know for special teams we want to kick things and tackle things. So that's probably taken as read. Kind of, you know, what's your magic one sort of overall requirement for the game?
I think just finishing off on the receivers, I think if you think in the last few years, we've had a string of named receivers in our core. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had probably 6, 7, 8 there of named players and a huge amount of depth. I think at the minute every team's going to be doubling up on Winston and Godwin.
Yep.
And so, you know, you've got Trey Palmer just coming, Tompkins, you know, they're the people that are going to be covered less at the minute, and so we could utilize them more.
Well, if you're doubling both Evans and Godwin, then I guarantee someone else is going to be open. Exactly. You've just got to get Baker Mayfield to see them, like on Madden. You just need that little arrow over their head or something. But in overall, in terms of your sort of magic wand, the wish list, the thing we need to fix this week, or the key to the game?
I think it's just keep building, and, you know, Baker carries on from where he was second half. You know, he built on, he was slow in the first half of the Vikings game, but didn't do anything stupid. Second half, he was starting to make those connections. And I think it's literally just keep building that.
Nice. Mariana, your wish list key to the game?
I'm very much with David. I think let's build on it. I think my wish list, my sort of magic wand, will just be like keep things the same. Let's have Baker come out and have a very steady game again. I don't need him to do anything amazing. I just need him to play and not get turnovers, and that's what he did. He seems like he's up for it. His shoulder seems fine. You know, there's always the worry that, was he still slightly injured from before? His shoulder seems fine. He's throwing nicely. Let's just let him build and not throw interceptions.
Yeah, so like you said, sort of extending the play. If there's nothing there, throw it away. If you're running, I mean, there was some craziness of hitting for the sticks last time where it was sort of 3rd and 2 or something. But other than that, he was sensible and stepped out of bounds early. Just keep it playing the long game. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's I don't need to see anything flashy from Baker. He played this week the way I feel like if he plays the rest of the season like that, he could play out the rest of the season like that.
Yeah, well, that would be good, actually. That would be good to see. So, money where your mouth is time. We're going to end with the score predictions. It sounds like we're thinking the Bucks can do this. This was going into the game. This was one of the games we felt more, you know, more confident about. I mean, we can only dare but dream to a 2-0 start. The NFL is a funny old place, you know. Right now, there are 16 teams that are booking tickets for the Super Bowl and 16 tickets that are planning their number one overall draft pick. So, you know, we are where we are. But if we could get to 2-0, then good things will happen. David, your kind of overall take and score prediction?
Yeah, I think big home game. I think keep up the good tempo from the first game and we walk away with a 34-18 win.
Ooh, I like that. That's good. Mariana?
Mindset is much the same. I think we've seen that the Bears can lose to what I don't think was a classic Green Bay team. You know, Jordan Love starting really his first proper NFL start. So I think we've got much more experience and a better overall team. So I'm going to go with a 28-7 victory for the Bucks.
That would be really good to shut down on the D. That would be nice to see. I'm probably more at the closer of David's end of the spectrum. I'm not known for my creativity. The fact they lost to the Green Bay Packers last week, 38-20, I'm going to keep that going. That feels like the kind of score to me. I would, you know, 38 points in the modern NFL is a very respectable output from the offense. I think we will get the run game going. I think we'll get the receivers going. And I think Baker, as you said, will carry on with that trajectory that's hopefully, you know, nothing but positivity. And I do think we'll struggle to stop them. I think, you know, that I think they'll have seen that passes down the seam. And you know, Justin Fields sort of maybe sort of option running and then, you know, just dipping the ball over the line or something. Could be quite, they ran through some screenplays that were annoyingly effective. Dare I say it, the Bucks are not the best team against the screen. So those sorts of things, I think there could be some frustrating times ahead, but I think we'll come out on top. So 38-20 for me. You've heard what we think it is, but obviously we want to hear your opinion as well. So please make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, click the bell, but also comment below. Tell us what you think the score is going to be and see if you know better than us, because we are obviously all experts. So we can't all be right. All of the time. So let us know what you think. But David, Mariana, thank you both very much. Thank you guys for watching. And we will see you next time. Go Bucks!
Go Bucks!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bucks UK TV. It's episode 97 of our new two-week... start again.